The Midweek Drive Team, four words which signify quality and all that's best in audio entertainment.
Born in the pandemic era, thriving in the Zoom era, it's Resonance Rewind, sharing lessons from the creatives of yesteryear for the population of today.
How's he doing?
Not awesome.
Blast from the past, wow. Bryce remembered your birthday, too.
My name is Charles Bartowski, but you can call me Chuck. Those are my shoes. This is my life. I work at the Bymore. It used to be pretty boring. Oh, wait, I need to go back. You see, everything changed when I got an email from my old college buddy, Bryce Larkin. You see, Bryce had been working for the CIA when he stole a whole bunch of government secrets. Big, important secrets. Really scary, nasty, get killed for having them secrets. Next thing I know, these super secrets are downloaded into my brain. Which means every moment of my life is in danger. It's filled with spies, car chases, computer-stealing ninjas, and me saving the day. So now I must defend the country from assassins, terrorists, and choppers.
No, it's just a video game, okay? Lives are not in danger, and the country is still safe.
You guys have been here 24 hours, I take your job way more seriously.
So, 2007, the year that Siren Radio started broadcasting on FM with a full-time FM license, I'm just saying. And, of course, the year that Chuck Bartowski, or Bartowski, actually emerged as a new hero of what would be 91 episodes of Chuck, and indeed the whole adventure series of Sarah Walker, Chuck Bartowski, and a whole stack of other things. It seems like only yesterday, but in many cases, a whole lifetime has passed since then. Let's not mess around with Resonance Rewind. Let's move straight into Jessica Burtis. Jessica, your thoughts on Chuck, the pilot episode of season one, which due to the writer's strike was curtailed after, I think, 12 shows.
Well, I had never actually heard of this. I think that at the time this came out, I was more into Mickey Mouse and Hannah Montana on Disney Channel. So I don't think it was in my kind of, I don't think it was marketed to me at the time, but I expected it, you know, when I first went to the show, I was kind of like, oh, Chuck, I guess this will be like a kind of like a maybe a type of sitcom or something. And I was like, we typically watch sci-fi, so I wasn't quite sure what was going on. But then the whole spy plot started and the whole downloading government files and spies running around. And I was like, this is excellent. This is actually such a fun show. And I think having, I don't know, I'm kind of a sucker for the character that's a bit out of their element going into something, but then they end up really suiting whatever crazy plot is going on. And I think Chuck is also just such a lovable character. He's so sweet, and it's nice having just such a wholesome main character.
I mean, my only irritant is I wish he'd tuck his shirt into his pants a little bit more, but still, that's by the by. He did go on to be Shazam, of course, so, you know, there we are. Jared Palmer, well, you, likewise, you would also have been a wee bairn, to use a Northern expression, when this was actually hitting the airwaves. And I think it kind of is one of those things where you almost, it wasn't given a huge turnaround in terms of Britain. I think it was one of the sort of smaller stations that that carried it. I just thought, again, it, like Jessica, a very fun show. But what are your thoughts?
Well, this is my first time watching the show. I haven't watched, well, of course, the full season, but I think I watched a clip of it. I think of a later season where they get Brandon Ralph in, and then you can see in the YouTube comments of Shazam killing Superman, which made me laugh because I realized that was a funny reference to that. But overall, I really did enjoy this show. I didn't know what this was coming into it. I thought, like, in the intro, like, when they were, like, breaking into, like, a bank or something, it's like, oh, no, we're just trying to escape my house from my sister because I don't want to go on a date. And I thought that was hilarious. And I also did feel as if I saw Neil Caffrey played by Matt again. And I think this is where they got him for White Collar from. So it was interesting to see him just, like, doing all that parkour and then that security guard tries it and then he breaks his leg in the attempt. That did make me laugh. But overall, I really did enjoy the subject matter and I really did enjoy the characters. I thought they were quite fleshed out. And I think I would watch the rest of the series at a given time once I finish Supernatural.
I mean, there's so much good stuff out there, as we frequently say, with respect to Resonance Rewind. We can only address some of the key things there. But there is a lovely intertextual reference to North by Northwest, the Alfred Hitchcock movie, which arguably really launched the whole spy-fi genre with Cary Grant running and being chased basically by events out of control with a blonde CIA agent as well accompanying him and doing all sorts of other areas. Nerd herd, we could argue that every single member of Resonance Rewind is a part of the nerd herd in all sorts of ways, but you know, I'm just saying, maybe that's just me. Jessica, did you have any favorite moments that stood out for you in terms of the 42, 43 minutes of this pilot?
I think, is it really that short? That is weird. I'm so used to shows now. Sorry, my cat just busted into my room. I think my favorite scene was probably meeting Sarah, because I think that whole interaction was so sweet. And I could tell that did they become love interests? Because I feel like that was, I feel like the 2000s were very big on that, where it was kind of like the dorky guy and then like the model-esque woman. But you know what? It's cute. And I think that that was sweet. And I think it just shows that scene where he was just helping the little girl and the dad. It's just, I don't know. He was just so sweet. And I feel like I'm so used to seeing a lot of shows nowadays where a lot of the main characters are very gritty and they're very intense and they're really emo or something, and it was just nice having a wholesome character, and I think it made me appreciate it a little bit more. But I did see a review apparently when it first came out saying that they didn't like his portrayal of Chuck because they thought he wasn't convincing enough of a loser, and I thought that was so weird that that was one of the criticisms, because I don't know, that was odd. But yeah, I think just seeing Chuck in his kind moments was really sweet, even more than the spy subplot. That was really fun.
Yeah, the ballet scenario in which, of course, we have the classic line, which I suspect an awful lot of dads might well have identified with in terms of, I recorded everything. It's not there. There's no digital tape in the digital recorder. Yeah, always a challenge. Jared, what about yourself? I mean, from that perspective, did you feel, I mean, clearly without hard drives, these were the problems, and certainly smashing up a hard drive might not have actually gone in the way that we saw it being demonstrated. Did you feel it worked? Because I mean, you've clearly got Chuck with his very capable sister who's got everything together. She's working in the medical profession. She's sorted out everything on that basis. And then, of course, there's the brother who, kind-hearted, but probably not necessarily the most wondrous of individuals.
I think ultimately it worked. I think I did like Zach's portrayal as Chuck. I thought he was very convincing in a way. Like I think he just really wants to be in his element that makes him feel comfortable, and being on the outside with people he doesn't know, it makes him feel a bit uncomfortable. But in terms of my favorite moments, I've got three. So one of them was the ballet scene, which I thought was very, I think that was both kind and compassionate, because I wouldn't see anyone these days do that for someone, especially for like a random stranger. And then the next bit was when Sarah breaks into Chuck's house dressed as like a ninja. Then like his roommate is chucking all the things, and it just hits Chuck, and he's just like bounces off. As like, Chuck, do something, while he's just being hit in the ghoulies and the stomach and the head. And like, and then the last one was when they're in the scene with the bomb, and Chuck's downloading the porn to stop the bomb, and in case he's like, you're downloading porn.
Yeah. As Chuck actually said when he responds to Ninja Sarah, please not the computer. It's a classic line on that side of things there. McGee, of course, is the director of this. McGee, probably known as a fairly dynamic, very kinetic director. I first came across him when he directed the first of two Charlie's Angels movies, I think, with Cameron Diaz and so on. And I think we do get that kind of fun and very rapid sort of move in terms of the sort of sequence. In terms of yourself, Jessica, any of the characters, because again, another range of characters here, not as many characters admittedly as you've got in Twin Peaks, but still a fair number to actually work through. Any thoughts in terms of who your favorite character might have actually been?
I mean, I think Sarah is probably my favorite character, because I think she seems like a very compassionate, lethal person, and I think that that's nice to see. And I do really like Chuck, like I said, and how kind-hearted he is, and that he's kind of just gotten swept up into this whole situation. But I want to know more about about Bryce and everything with him, and that whole, like, the whole background. I feel like they must go into the backstories a lot more throughout the seasons. I'm not sure how many there are, but it does make me want to watch more of the show. But yeah, I think Sarah, I think she's my favorite. She's just so cool.
Yeah, again, there's that sense that she is certainly somebody who can quite literally kick ass, but at the same time is obviously easing up on Chuck. I mean, we see this in Chuck versus the Helicopter in the second season, where both Sarah Walker, played by Yvonne Strahovski, goes undercover together with, of course, Adam Baldwin's John Casey, who is clearly, again, the lethal soul. And we see that, again, referenced in terms of the sequence where he sees both Adam has joined the Bymore team, and obviously Sarah sets up a thing next door to the whole system. So you've got a lot of interesting lines there. What about some of the other characters? We didn't mention Tony Todd, of course, who frequently been looked at in terms of his role in Star Trek Deep Space Nine. Of course, he was the Candyman, amongst other things, something we haven't actually looked at, but CII director Graham. And I suppose also, Jared, this notion of the, is it the MacGuffin? I don't know, but the line that literally just opening an email sent by one of your former college acquaintances could actually almost mind wipe your good self and actually sort of create all sorts of strange flash scenarios that come through.
Well, I wouldn't know, since I tend to use text messages for that. But I think it has potential to happen to me. It's just that it hasn't happened to me yet. It's happened to a friend of my brother's who was in a lecture who, to tick off the lecturer, he sent him the Rick Robin of Asbury originally, and he did it twice in two. But yeah. I think ultimately, I thought it was a bit funny when Bryce just said, it's like, oh, Bryce, like, he's probably an accountant. It's like, in the next career, like, Bryce, not an accountant. And I really did like that. So I think ultimately, there is potential to destroy someone with an email. But I think with these days, people tend to use text messages. So I think,
right.
I wouldn't say email's gone out, but it's still there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, again, the storyline, for which we haven't really sort of looked at, Chuck, a computer geek who gets a computer full of information zapped into his brain, information that contains secrets that the federal government desperately needs to keep in Chuck's head, because, of course, they don't have a replacement. And there was that line, obviously, from one of the superiors at the CIA, which was the sinister line that, well, they'll keep him alive, just until they've actually managed to build a replacement, in which case they can obviously jettison him from that point of view, really. So an interesting sort of perspective there in terms of faith in one's government. What was it, some 6 years after 9/11, really? But again, an interesting. Did you think that, and this is for Jessica, actually, did you think that actually the representation of both gender and indeed race was appropriate? Did you feel that actually the representation of America worked well, certainly given this, the amount of spy-fi we've actually seen over the years?
I did think that it was, I mean, for 2007, yeah. And I think that, I mean, it's something that can always be worked on and will always be changing. But I think that this show, it seems like they were earnestly trying to have more representation in different roles. And I think that they definitely give the NSA and CIA a bit more credit than maybe they're due. I think Chuck in real life would have had like a one-way ticket to Area 51 or something like that. I don't know. They would be keeping him in somewhere. I don't think they would just let him run around with that info in his brain unwatched. But I don't know. Also, I don't think, I don't know, one day if there's ever email to brain technology, maybe the government's changed. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we've looked in previous Residence Rewinds, of course, at the way in which the mind has been controlled. Joe 90, of course, probably the precursor of this, and then Dollhouse, another series in which whole personalities were presented. You could say this echoes some aspects of Dollhouse, which was also a contemporary, really, from Joss Whedon in terms of that, except obviously it's an unwitting lead protagonist that we actually have in Chuck Bartowski. Overall, though, any other favourite honourable mentions, Jessica, you'd like to sort of throw in before we start looking at scores and such like?
I think Morgan was funny. I think Morgan was really funny. I think that a lot of the characters are pretty distinct, which I think is nice to see in a pilot episode. And I think that it sets up a lot of relationships that can be explored. And then especially when you have the two sides of the whole, the nerd herd and then the government, I think that it's a show where I had not expected it at all to go anywhere within government stuff when I saw the title and saw the promo images and stuff. But I think it actually works really well, and it does make me want to go back and watch this. I love seeing shows from the 2000s that are little gems that tend to kind of be overlooked. So I think, yeah, this show is just fun. It's really fun.
And you can even actually look at the fashion that was around at that particular time as well, in terms of obviously the propensity, as I said, for shirts being untucked. Although there is a company that actually makes a sort of aspect of being untucked shirts and the importance of that. Big Mike, I got to throw in a message for him as Mark Christopher Lawrence, who I think is sort of on Chuck's side, but clearly sees him as not somebody who's really going to focus on the whole career elements within the whole system. And also Julia Ling is one of the nerd herds, Anna Wu. I mean, again, I think we can recognize those kind of characters from a number of electronic stores and things within that whole field, and how they kind of relate. You've always got, in a sense, three families. You've got blood relations of Ellie Bartowski, played by Sarah Lancaster, and her partner. And obviously, there's the second family at the Bymore store. And then, of course, there's the CIA family and the National Intelligence Agency family that's there. Do you think also possibly Jared begins to, you know, address that issue of how we kind of interconnect and literally have to have different roles and different connections depending on who we're connecting with?
I think, though, with these different organizations, I'm starting to think who's running the budget with these organizations, because there's just so many of them. At this rate, there's going to be another secret
taxpayer, secret, I think. The taxpayer, isn't that the case?
Probably like Area 50, I don't know, 55, 52. So I think ultimately I do understand why there's more than one organization, but at the same time, I do question whether or not it's in the budget, just at least one, or with one with several different departments. But it's not my call to make. So
could we slim down the a number of secret organizations that actually exist within the whole sequence? Could be an interesting line. Music, of course, there was a soundtrack album that, again, has worked through well. I think the pace is important. And before we actually do our summation, I think C.S. Lee's role as Harry Tang, the ideal mean boss in many ways, I think also managed to classically show the thing that probably most of us at some stage has worked for somebody who was not necessarily a nice person and obviously gave grief to us in terms of what was there. So, you know, important things on that system. Okay. By the way, any favorite quotes, Jessica?
I think the whole, we prefer geek or nerds or geeks. Oh, I'm forgetting now. They're like, we prefer nerds, not geeks. You know, it's nerd herd. I thought that was so funny. It reminded me of how big the 2000s were about like geek versus nerd and stuff like that.
Well, as we said, the original geeks were circus workers who would bite the heads off chickens. So it's understandable. You wouldn't want to necessarily be associated with that geek scenario, and actually would prefer to actually go down the nerd line, as in nerd herd. Probably a key point. Maybe that's at the heart of many global troubles of the day. Jared, any sort of final closing lines or quotes from yourself?
I would have to say it's get them, Chuck. That one made me laugh when Morgan says that, as he's just he's completely hit him in every precious part of his body. So that's my favorite line from that show.
Okay, well, hopefully Anna Koskinel will be giving us her view from the Romanian perspective of the show. We may have one or two others as well. But then again, maybe it's that hidden gem that a lot of Resonance Rewind tends to focus on. But let's go for scores. Jessica, what's your score for the pilot episode of the McGee-directed Chuck?
I'm giving this an 8. It's so fun. I genuinely want to keep watching the show. And it had good characters. It had an interesting plot, just two different worlds colliding. So I don't know. What more can you ask for? It seems just excellent.
I think it certainly had aspects of a show which we may return to or may go back to called Get Smart back in the 1960s, which I think also kind of was a kind of bumbling secret agent. Maybe this is a case of Get Smart crossed with of the I was going to say the Einstein routine, the Big Bang Theory, which again obviously is another line that that works on that system, which could be interesting. Okay, Jared, what's your score?
I would give it an 8.9. I really like the idea of the show. I really like the beginning. I like how they twisted it in the beginning. I like the idea of the plot as it evolves, because now we've got more motivation for Chuck to sort of like liaison with the different organizations with Sarah and Casey. And I really did like how it built the characters up, especially towards the end, because I got the feeling that you kind of already knew the characters and there's still too much more to tell as well. So, and ultimately, I think it was just a really good pilot and I had a really fun time. So 8.9.
Yeah. So there we are, Chuck going. I'd probably go for an 8, actually. I think there were a lot of key things within that whole side of things which worked well. But yeah, fun show and well worth the Resonance Rewind time to work through that. Little heads up for our next Resonance Rewind. We're back into the universe of J.M. Straczynski with one of his offshoots. Well, in fact, the only real major spin-off from the series Babylon 5. One which was sadly very short-lived. But at the same time, it was one of those key areas that relates to, the future, space opera, Sarah, Jessica. So we're back in space again in a whole range of other aspects. And indeed, some interesting philosophical views on life. Do we simply go round and round and round again? Or is there something completely different with our telepaths? Yes, it's Crusade, episode one of the series, considered next week on Resonance Rewind. For now, though, to Jared Palmer and to Jessica Burtis, for the moment, before we have some more music and clips from Chuck, keep on resonating. Thank you.
going to kill him.
Kill who?
Stanfield, the general. The general Stanfield, the NATO guy. Look, something is wrong with me, okay? I don't know what it is, but something is very, very wrong with me, and I'm remembering things that I shouldn't know.
Okay, Chuck, talk to me. Like what?
I don't know. For example, there was a Serbian demolitions expert at the Large Mart today. That's kind of odd, wouldn't you say? Look, last week, the NSA, you guys intercepted some blueprints. Blueprints of a hotel. That hotel. And then the CIA, you guys found a file of schematics of a bomb in Prague. The bomb is in that hotel.
He was working with Bryce.
No, he opened Bryce's email. Chuck, those pictures that you saw were encoded with secrets. Government secrets. If you saw them, then you know them.
There were thousands of them.
Wait a minute. You're telling me all of our secrets are in his head.
Chuck is the computer.
What did you say? What does that mean?
Chuck, you have to listen to me. You have to tell us where this bomb is.
What is happening to me?
You said there was a bomb. Is there time to stop it?
What? Are you crazy?
No, we're the good guys. We get paid to keep bombs from exploding.
Look, I can't help you. Okay, I really wish that I could, but I can't. Call Bryce. He's the guy that can save the day.
Bryce is dead. He died sending those secrets to you.
Bryce is dead?
Yeah, and he's gonna have a lot of company unless you start talking. So pretty please. Can we defuse the bomb now?
According to the schedule, the general's already on the stage.
It was our mission to give our nation's diplomat the military perspective on world issues. Now, maybe it was just because I was a uniform.
Wait, we can't take him in. He's too valuable.
Okay, Johnny Commodore, you stay here. But you tell us where to go.
The easiest
way? The fastest, Chuck.
The fastest. Got it.
Chuck, stop! Chuck, wait!
You know, it takes courage to speak up, take action.
Chuck, where is it?
That's it.
Well, Jared gave it a thumbs up. Jessica wouldn't chuck it out. What will Anna Coscanell make of Chuck Season 1, Episode 1? First time around, I presume, Anna? First time you've actually encountered this spy-fi comedy?
Yes, it was my first time, and I loved it.
Okay, well, that's good to know. So let's break it down a little bit. Let's talk about favorite moments first and foremost.
I think one of my most favorite moments was in the beginning when the spy was in Chuck's home, Chuck's and Morgan's home, and she flirted with them before at the store. But after that, she came to steal their laptop, and it was just funny how Morgan was trying to help Bryce, but he was hitting him on, and then Bryce didn't know what happened, and how the fight ended was just hilarious.
Yes, what if you were the unwitting target of a ninja vendetta, and they return tonight to strangle you with their nunchucks? A kind of paraphrase, yeah. In terms of the quote from that point of view there. Chuck Bartowski, of course, played by the actor who would later go on to be Shazam. I'm not sure whether you've actually seen the movie. I think he bulked up a little bit with respect to Shazam. How did you feel did he epitomize the nerd, or would you actually say, no, he's more of a geek as opposed to a nerd, and let's actually sort of sort this thing out now?
I mean, he described himself as a nerd rather than a geek the first time around. He does kind of look a bit like a nerd, but a cute one, probably, for girls. So, I don't know. Compared to other nerds who only know things from their own field, he apparently seemed to handle just fine, finding out that the girl he likes is a spy and his old Stanford friend is a CIA spy. So, maybe he's just a geek.
That's very true. We mentioned earlier, of course, of the program that... There's a lot of references to the Alfred Hitchcock classic North by Northwest, which was obviously way back in 1959, where the lead character played by Cary Grant found himself inadvertently working for the government as an amateur spy, chased by a criminal organization and also protected by a blonde female spy. So, I mean, in many ways, I'm not sure whether you've ever seen North by Northwest. You could say this is an updated version with computer technology in which, of course, the mere act of opening an email can expose you to all of the government's most secret files.
Yes, we should be careful nowadays when we open our emails. Who knows what we're going to find?
Well, especially when you bear in mind that normally we're told to avoid viruses, and it is good computer hygiene to avoid that at the best of times. You don't want to necessarily have this system. What about favourite characters? Who kind of, is it going to be Chuck, or are you going to go for possibly Captain Awesome, of course, Chuck's sister's partner, who I think is constantly being referred to as Captain Awesome, even when he actually says, hey, group hug with Ellie and Morgan. Or are you going to go for Sarah Walker? I mean, so many that you could actually effectively choose. Do you have any honourable mentions?
So I won't go for Captain Awesome because he seems like the basic 2000s character, the pretty boy with pretty face that is trying to be popular, but he seems kind of weird. I think, I don't know, Sarah was amazing. She, except for the fact that she's just so beautiful. Having a female that's a spy and knows how to drive backwards with the car is just phenomenal, taking into account all the jokes that are made about women driving. So
and
that's
going to
be...
We have a blonde female here, so you can actually double up the sort of challenge, really, in many ways, the stereotypes.
I mean, as a blonde myself, that's not going to be blonde anymore. I can say that. I'm just happy for this episode. But no, I think Bryce was my favorite because he was put in a good spotlight being the main character. And he does represent, I don't think he represents the geeks, but being pictured as one, he gives quite high hopes for a geek.
Okay, so in essence, okay, yeah, no real mention for Ryan McPartlin, who played Devon, also known as Captain Awesome. Yvonne Strahovski, of course, the Australian actress who plays Sarah Walker, very much in form there. But you're going for Matt Bomer then, as Matthew Bomer, Bryce Larkin,
yes,
for his particular perspective. Interesting. Yeah, I thought you might have actually gone for Adam Baldwin, playing John Casey, the somewhat brutal and basic blunt instrument approach that you actually got, in which cases, obviously, you have that wonderful three-way standoff between Sarah Walker, John Casey, and Chuck on the rooftop, which, again, we had a clip from earlier, which, again, I think opens up the sort of challenge between that. Allowing for all these kind of things, is it the sort of series? I mean, there were 91 episodes made, and it did actually progress over five full seasons. Is it something that you're likely to find yourself either binge-watching or maybe applying as a guilty pleasure sometimes when you want to actually check out the spy five from the early 21st century?
Well, to be quite honest with you, I got Amazon Prime just to watch it because it looked really catchy. So I'm just going to continue watching it because I really did enjoy it. And yes, I thought I was going to go for John as well, but I did not like him in certain scenes. I mean, he was a great actor, but his character just wasn't that appealing to me, to be quite honest. So probably that's why I did not go for him. But yes, I'll continue watching it after today.
Well, that's interesting from that point of view as we continue with respect to the big buy scenario, and of course the nerd herds with respect to that as well. We want to give a little mention, of course, to the music. We've heard some of the tracks that have been working through that. I mean, there is indeed a full soundtrack album that you can actually get with respect to the whole sequence. A composer I hadn't really necessarily been aware of in terms of the past work that they've actually put together, but it seemed to get that sort of pace very much put together. Tim Jones, of course, is the gentleman that we're referring to, and in terms of what he's done before and since Well, again, he has some interesting credits, and indeed has had some awards as well. So mostly Thor Ragnarok. He was part of Cocaine Bear recently, and the interesting American Pie Presents Girls Rules, which also he provided the music for. How did you feel the music worked from your own perspective, Anna? Or was it a case of, well, it worked because it wasn't intrusive and it did actually heighten the emotions when necessary?
Well, to be quite honest, I searched the songs after I finished watching it, because during the episode itself, I think it highlighted the actions pretty well, and it wasn't, as you said, intrusive, and it did not make me lose my focus on the storyline and focus more on the song itself. But I think songs were good, but I liked the scene where it was him at the store repairing that camera that did not have tape for that little girl and her father. And I think that was one unexpected part where the music just wasn't, I did not expect to hear a song like that there. And it's just, it was overall nice. I liked it.
Yeah. Created by and written by Josh Schwartz and Chris Fedak. Could you see a future for Chuck? Do you think that actually it would be worth either a remake or possibly a motion picture of Chuck? Or would you say, no, let's chuck that idea out straight away?
I'm going to chuckle and say that let's stick to 2000s, because it's just good. And my opinion on remaking old movies, old series, no. Let's just enjoy what we have, because it's good. It's good content. And if there's something to create, let's create something new, not trying to remake and make it worse.
Yeah, so you wouldn't go for a kind of gender or race swapped character of Chuck and the female spy Sarah Walker as well. You'd say no, we'll hold fire on that.
Next thing we know, we have trans as a transsexual. We have Chuck as a transsexual man, and then we have Sarah as a full-on man. Who knows? Exactly. And then Morgan is a woman.
It just all becomes very peculiar, but still, never mind. You have been listening to Residents Rewind, of course. We still need to find out what Anna's score is going to be. I mean, we've so far had, I think, a couple of nines and an eight. What is your score going to be, Anna, for this particular adventure?
I'm going to give it a 9. I really enjoyed it. Definitely.
Well, as we said earlier, next time up, we have another space opera with, of course, from the Straczynski universe of Babylon 5, Crusade. Who are you? Who do you trust? Where are you going? These are the questions which can be put not only to the series, but also philosophically as well. But until then, thanks to Anna Coscanell and, of course, earlier, Jessica and Jared. And keep on resonating. Here's some more music from Chuck.
My bags are packed, I'm ready to go. I'm standing here outside your door. I had to wake you up to say goodbye. But the dawn is breaking, it's early morn. The taxi's waiting, he's blown his horn. Already I'm so lonesome, I could die. So kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you wait for me. Hold me like you'll never let me go. 'Cause I'm leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when I'll be back again. Oh babe, I hate to go. There's so many times I've let you down. So many times I've played around. I tell you now, they don't mean a thing. Every place I go, I think of you. Every song I sing for you. When I come back, I'll wear your wedding ring. So kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you wait for me. Hold me like you'll never let me go. 'Cause I'm leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when I'll be back again. Oh babe, I hate to go. Now the time has come to leave you. One more time, let me kiss you. Close your eyes, I'll be on my way. Dream about the days to come when I won't have to leave alone. About the times I won't have to say. So kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you'll wait for me. Hold me like you'll never let me go. 'Cause I'm leaving on a jet plane. I hate to go.
Secret, secret, I got a secret.
We're all made in Japan.
Machines dehumanize.